From the WGXE Newsroom, this is the WGXE Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Friday, January 8th, 2016. I'm Philip Grant. Jim Plank is reporting in the Daily Mail that with the start of the new year, several temporary land use bans enacted last fall in Hunter have expired or are winding down. Moratoria on both new or expanded junkyards and the placement of mobile homes or mobile home parks expired January the 4th. The freeze on site plan and subdivision review are scheduled to expire on January 13th. However, work on new major subdivision regulations may require the implementation of a separate moratorium to allow more time for the needed revisions. The subdivision regulations are expected to be finished in March. Hunter Planning Board Chair Sarah Calori said work on the town's new stormwater law is also underway. She said the Land Use Committee was able to hire consultants to help with the new law because the City of New York awarded Hunter a grant to cover the fees. The city's motivation was to help protect the watershed by assisting with the development of local 21st century land use legislation. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. Roger Hannigan Gilson is reporting in the Register Star that state police and the Greene County Sheriff's Office are cautioning people about two recent phone scams. Greene County Sheriff Greg Seeley warned of callers pretending to be representatives of Central Hudson Gas and Electric Company. In the scheme, the person calling identifies themselves as a representative of the company and threatens to cut electrical service if the individual does not provide personal information, such as a Social Security number. The scam often targets the elderly. The sheriff's office received multiple complaints in the last week, Seeley said. He said, and I quote, "Central Hudson will never call. They will send letters through certified mail. Do not give any information. Just hang up the phone," end quote. State police further warned to never provide Social Security numbers, banking information, date of birth, or other personal information to anyone over the phone. You can read that full story in the Register Star. Keisha Cluckley is reporting at Politico New York that the New York State Catholic Conference will once again push for a tax credit that would provide incentives for educational donations. Cardinal Timothy Dolan said, and I quote, "We would hope it would come up again, and we're going to make sure that it does because it is an issue about which we are extraordinarily passionate," end quote. Dolan, the Roman Catholic Archbishop of New York, made the comment after leading the state Senate in a prayer opening the first day of the legislative session this week. The Cuomo-backed legislation failed to pass last session. Those who opposed the measure cited a complexity of reasons, including the idea that giving resources to privately run schools undermines public schools and the legislation would unfairly favor the wealthy. There also was concern from opponents that private and parochial school donors could use the legislation as a way to leverage tax breaks for charter school supporters. You can read that full story at Politico New York. Matthew Hamilton, Chris Bragg, and Casey Seeler are reporting in the Albany Times-Union that in Albany, legislators are back at work and they do not like the perception that they are all corrupt. In the past year, leaders from both parties of the Assembly and State Senate have been indicted on corruption charges, as have a number of other legislators in recent years. Assembly Minority Leader Brian Kolb said this week, and I quote, "I don't know about you, but I don't like being referred to as a bum," end quote. Senate Majority Leader John Flanagan said, and I quote, "We should not apologize for the good work we have done," end quote. And Assembly Speaker Carl Hestey said, and I quote, "The Assembly is serious about ethics reform, and we know that words are not enough," end quote. You can read that full story in the Albany Times-Union. And in our final story, Andrea Sears reports from New York News Connection from the Public News Service on advocates' praise for the boost to the Environmental Protection Fund.
Governor Andrew Cuomo's plan to give the state's Environmental Protection Fund a major boost is drawing high praise. The governor wants to increase the fund to $300 million in the next state budget, more than twice the level of funding when he took office 5 years ago. Jessica Otney-Mahar of the Nature Conservancy calls the announcement historic.
It is putting New York in a position of national leadership. We think this is a sustainable level of funding, and it's the right proposal at the right time in the right budget.
The fund supports projects in every county in the state, including protecting clean drinking water, farmland preservation, waterfront revitalization, and environmental justice initiatives. Mahar says money from the Environmental Protection Fund also can be used to secure grants from the Federal Land and Water Conservation Fund, which was reauthorized by Congress with increased funding last month.
To see these two investments happening at the same time is thrilling for the conservation community. So it's a great time that the state is leveraging public investments with federal investments.
Cuomo also announced funding for programs to reduce nitrogen pollution from private septic systems and public wastewater treatment facilities. Mahar says on Long Island, nitrogen pollution is the number one threat to the environment and the economy, causing algae plumes and massive fish kills.
The governor's recommitment to ensuring that we are upgrading facilities and homes on Long Island to ensure that nitrogen is being removed from wastewater is incredibly important.
The Environmental Protection Fund has broad bipartisan support, and Mahar is confident the governor's proposed increases will be included in the coming state budget. For New York News Connection, I'm Andrea Sears.
And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany has issued a hazardous weather outlook for the region. A light mix of mainly snow and sleet is expected to develop late Friday night into early Saturday morning. There is a low probability for some light freezing rain. For today's forecast, the National Weather Service is predicting a sunny day with a temperature high near 40 degrees. Friday night, a slight chance of snow showers, freezing rain, and sleet before 2 a.m. Then a chance of snow showers between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. Then a chance of rain and snow showers after 4 a.m. Increasing clouds with a low around 31 degrees. The chance of precipitation tonight is 40%. The forecast for the weekend, well, on Saturday, a chance of rain showers, snow showers, and sleet before noon. Then a slight chance of rain showers between noon and 3 p.m. Then a slight chance of drizzle after 3 p.m. It will be cloudy with a temperature high near 42 degrees. For Saturday night, a chance of drizzle before 2 a.m. Then rain mainly after 5 a.m. It will be cloudy with a low around 38 degrees. And on Sunday, rain before 2 p.m., then showers likely mainly between 2 p.m. and 5 p.m. The temperature high will be near 51 degrees. For Sunday night, a chance of rain showers before 5 a.m., then a slight chance of rain and snow showers. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 27 degrees. Sunrise today was at 7:23 a.m., and the sun will set at 4:40 p.m., providing us with 9 hours and 17 minutes of daylight. That's 2 minutes more than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Friday, the 8th day of January 2016. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.